And good evening. It's Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight, we're going to have a great evening talking about our accomplishments and our goals and what we're looking for 2009 and finishing up the year of 2008. And our guest tonight is Joshua Zuchter.
Perfect. Thank you. Hi there.
And how are you?
I'm great.
Good. So it's going to be a call-in show. You're going to have to... I'm going to apologize in advance because there may be a little bit of feedback. We're going to try and limit the feedback, and we know some ways of doing that, but I do also know that as you ask your question, once the question is finished, I have to turn you down because there's a little bit of other feedback that goes in through anyway. So just so if you do have more to ask, we'll catch you right before we hang up on you. All right, so... let's talk about the review and performance for, what is it?
Projection. Review projection, yeah.
For next year. So let's talk about, I mean, I guess, you know, it's always better to start with, you know, what did we do this year, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, this actually came from my teacher, Faye, had led us each year through, it was a woman, she was my teacher for 8 years, and every year around this time of year between... you know, around December 25th, 26th, 27th, we would do a review of our past year, and then we'd do a projection for our next year. We'd pick angel cards, animal cards, and we'd ask for them to symbolize our next year. I'll share a funky story with you, actually.
Cool.
This is, yeah, really the most incredible synchronicity happened for me from that experience. And so we did this for 8 years, and as soon as the group ended, I continued to do it anyway on my own, and now I lead my clients through it. So I thought this would be neat to do to assist your listeners and anyone else who wants to tap into the recordings.
Right.
Yeah.
And we'll have them on both of our sites, probably the questions, so that you can go back and think about them and you know, put a little bit more. Because it's a really important time. It's a time of year when, you know, we do make those New Year's resolutions. And we...
right.
You know, we're not always thinking about what we want. We're thinking about, you know, all the things that we... don't want, or
right,
you know, all the problems we had last year. We're not really being grateful for, or even acknowledging
right
all that we've done.
Yeah, and it's something that typically most people don't do. We don't think about what are our greatest accomplishments of the year. We don't necessarily learn from our experiences, so we keep repeating old patterns. So this is a great practice to recall what we've been up to, some of the lessons learned, what we'd like to change or shift, so we can head right into that.
Sure.
I will share one of the great experiences that I had from this process, which we're not going to use tonight, but if you do have a set of angel cards or animal cards, this is a technique that my teacher, Faye Kidd, had us go through. We would pick a card, an animal card to represent our year ahead. So we'd set an intent for our year, and then we'd shuffle the cards, and then we'd pull a card out of the deck. If you're doing this in a group, you want to make sure that when you pull the card out that you read whatever it means to you, put it back in the deck so that your friends can perhaps pull the same card if they're meant to. And so, and you can also shuffle the deck as well. It's good to have your energy in the deck, not your friends. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the card gets pulled every single time for the circle. So one of the things that we had done is I had pulled, and this was in... 1999.
Nice.
Actually, let me rewind a little bit. So we had also done these projections based on a book called, I don't remember the book now. I'll remember later, but, The Secret of Creating Your Future by Dr. Tad James. And in it, he talks about creating what you want 10 years from now, 6 years from now, 3 years, and going backwards from the end. So we had done that. So December 18th of 1999, I had written down what I was looking for in a relationship. And I had put that list away. It was complete. And I said, I wanted to meet this person in a month. Because I've been doing this for a while. So I thought, oh yeah, you know, I can manifest this very quickly. So, and this is before people were doing this. So now it's very common for people to say, oh yeah, I've got my list. But back then it wasn't as common. Mm-hmm. And so this is 99. So I put this list away. December 26th comes around and we're in the group. And I had pulled a dolphin card. Right. Now, we had been doing this process for a few years, and I never, to be honest, I never found or I never made the connection between the card and my next year. And so that time I pulled a dolphin, I read what it meant, put the card back in the deck, and just we continued with the evening. So December 31st comes around, and I was supposed to, quote unquote, supposed to go to the convention center to celebrate with friends. But we couldn't get tickets. It was sold out. So we went to a friend's house, and 1 o'clock in the morning came by, and as I went to the front door to grab something out of my jacket, and as I walked to the door, two women walked in, and you know, I was speaking with one of them. She left, and I started speaking with the other, and it turned out we had some really bizarre things in common. So anyhow, long story short, I asked her if I could have her number and call her. So I went and picked her up that night, January 1st, and I knock on her door, and she opens it and has me come in while she's getting ready. And what do I see? Dolphins all over her apartment.
Really?
She has dolphin figurines, dolphin soap, fake stuffed dolphin, dolphin pictures, dolphin curtain in her bathroom. And so that was truly one of the most miraculous and wonderful stories. There's much more to her and her, the connection that she and I had, but that was one that was related to this process that we're going to go through. So
cool.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be done for everything.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's start.
Okay. So we'll spend maybe half our time on review.
Right.
And then half the time on projection.
Perfect.
And or we'll see how we end up.
Sure.
Okay. And so if you're following along, you're welcome to have a pen and paper and make notes. I'll read off the questions. I will actually share some of my own personal stories and lessons and teachings. You're welcome to do the same if you like. And if you'd like to call in and share some lessons learned and so on, I think that would be fun.
You can call 416-690-6391.
Nice. Okay, so the first one is, what are your top 10 accomplishments or highlights in 2008? And keep in mind, we're only on December 1st, so that
we
leaves...
have another month.
That's right, you still have another month left, but we wanted to make sure we got it in on this show and that you had time to do this. My birthday also comes up in January, so between December and January is a good time for review for me. So your top 10 accomplishments or highlights...
Capricorn.
Okay. Yeah. Don't tell anyone, though.
Okay. Nobody.
No. So what are your top 10 accomplishments and highlights in 2008? So I listed a few as examples. This year was... happy to thankful to say probably had the best financial year of my career, which is quite fantastic. Had the best 2 months in sequence in my life, which is fantastic. So when you're considering your highlights, consider your business, your career, your finances, your health, your relationships, romance, all the top areas that we all know of. I went on a media tour this year. It was very exciting. That was my first time being on television. I was very giddy. It was quite funny. And
I can't imagine that.
I know, yeah. Such a ham, I think my mother would say. Friendships this year were very meaningful for me. Feeling, one of the things is I'm single, and I don't have kids. And so, I don't know if that went out as a promo. I don't know. Uh-oh. I may get emails. I'm not sure. But so anyhow, I have some good friends that had children, and so it's my first time experiencing almost like God kids, so that's been really touching, and I'm really grateful for that. I started out my career doing energy work, and that was in 2002, and one day I was speaking with a friend, and I was leaning on my hand, which was rested on a table, and as I was speaking, I all of a sudden felt the vibration of my words in my hand. And so I realized the power and healing that comes from words. So I actually closed my practice the next day, and I shifted just into coaching.
Wow.
Yeah. And so and giving seminars and workshops. So essentially, so I hadn't done energy work in a while. I do it every now and then when I'm called by someone or called from myself to do it on someone. And so this year I actually worked on some people, and it was really, really quite amazing. One experience I had was a good friend of mine. I was giving a seminar for her students, and we finished the seminar. I was on my way to walking out, and her daughter's friend were coming downstairs, and they were in enormous pain. And I said, "What happened?" And it turned out they had just been in a car accident the day before, and their car was totaled. They weren't physically bruised or anything, but they were in enormous pain and could barely even stand or lie down. So I sensed exactly what needed to take place for them, and I had them lie down, even though it was a little painful, and I started doing energy work on them, but with their permission. And so the neat thing was that my friend, their mother, or one girl's mother, could see what I was doing. And so I typically feel energy more, and I see it sometimes, but not orally. And so she literally saw what I felt. And so that was quite phenomenal. So I really enjoyed that. And I hadn't done that in a long time, so that was really neat. So that was definitely a highlight. Another highlight was probably the most incredible revelation I've ever come to. I have a lot of insights that come to me frequently, and this would be the Holy Grail. Mm-hmm. In fact, I call it the Holy Grail of personal growth and self-development. I truly believe it will be the biggest thing since Eckhart Tolle's Power of Now work has gone out into the masses. And so I'm now writing a book for this. I've started coaching people on it, and it shifted me. It changed my life. I realized I used to be an emotional being, and I shifted into a spiritual being when this happened. Mm. And it was in the split second that it happened. I completely transformed. I didn't sleep for a week and a half. Mm. I tried to, but it never worked. I'd go to try to fall asleep, and then all of a sudden I'd get download of information. For the first time in my journaling experience, I would write down what came. I would stop next day, go to try to fall asleep. More would come, I'd go and write it, and it turned out I had written the exact same thing two nights in a row. Wow. So to me, that was quite profound. Mm-hmm. And I was conscious of this. I wasn't asleep. I wasn't in a lucid state. I was aware and conscious the whole time it was coming through. So many people don't know my work in this area, and I'm known in the community of life coaching and productivity and so on. But really, spirituality is at the heart of all my work. And so it was quite profound when it came. And so now within 30 minutes, I had a full day workshop come to me, slide by slide, PowerPoint. I normally don't give PowerPoints. So I knew when this came that it was special. And so I will be giving this seminar next year in the spring. So stay tuned to find out more about that. So that definitely was a big one. And last would be the shifts in my clients. I'm always grateful for being a part of their experience and a witness to their shifts and changes. And hopefully some of you are listening in, and I say hello to all of you. It's interesting because if you were a fly on my wall, you would see the shifts. So oftentimes I'll have clients that will go through shifts. They won't even recognize the shifts, because they're just in a totally different place. So I get to actually witness the shift from when we started to where we are now. And that's quite remarkable, I think. I'm very fortunate to be able to be a part of that and witness that. Mm-hmm. You know, so those are my highlights. Do you have any accomplishments or highlights? Yeah, go ahead.
This has been a very interesting year for me. And I think for a lot of people, it's been, you know, either a year of great transformation or great healing. Mm. And for me, it's been a year of huge, I mean, really both, but huge healing. I mean, I started off the year with getting a new website, and, you know, and then as the year has progressed, I've gotten some great contacts. And so the radio show is just, you know, it is definitely my passion. And the more healing work that I've done, what I've realized, just how much of my passion it is. It's become much clearer that, you know, that is the message that I've been working towards getting, which is my whole life has been around abandonment, but abandonment's not so much my issue as being acknowledged.
Right.
And so once I was able to handle that, find that peace.
Wow.
It was huge. And then I realized, you know, well, they always say, you know, you need to give to receive. And I realized that the show is how I give acknowledgement to others. Mm. And then I'm receiving it now once I realize that that's what this is all about. Mm. And so it's been huge.
Mm.
So it's been a great year. When I look back, you know, years from now, I will realize just how powerful this year has been with regards to healing. And it's been a lot of my own personal spiritual journey. And I really honored the process this year, where I probably had never honored some of it before. And so it was really incredible. Mm. And so I know we're going to get to what I'm grateful for. And it's part of that is the same.
Amazing.
That it's, you know, it's just been one of those years that, and you know, you really know your support system and those people that, you know, that love you. And, you know, it becomes clearer and clearer when you're in a crisis type place and working through a huge healing transformation.
Right. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's neat. It is significant to think, how long have you been working with? I feel like I'm interviewing you. We're going to turn the tables around. I'm going to interview you for a little bit. How long has Intuitive Soul Radio been around for now?
This is its second season.
Okay.
And I also did, you know, pretty much a season with another station.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And it took a little while to get up and running due to the fact that somehow, for some reason, technology has been my, I'm not going to say downfall, just been challenging.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Just a little challenging.
Well, it's funny because a lot of, most people don't realize this, but a lot of internet streaming radio comes from pre-recorded phone calls.
Yeah.
Yours is actually, most those that are listening can't see this, but there are mics here, there's a soundboard, it's pretty high tech.
Yeah, and a lot of places go to, you know, they don't get their own live stream, they go to somewhere else, and I'm actually, you know, on a live stream, so, you know, it's a little bit different, yes.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, so this is fantastic.
Yeah. And I love it. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's also, you know, soon I'm going to be getting a little bit better quality equipment, but you know, I'll always be able to carry it on my back.
Right.
You know?
Oh, that's
like
true.
I have this where I can carry it on my back, so you know, I can really travel with it and go anywhere.
You get a little air card. Yeah. You can be in the Himalayas, interviewing a monk in the mountains.
Unfortunately, it probably won't be live, but yes.
You never. Yeah, the call-in might be a little expensive.
Very expensive. You won't be doing that, but yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So the next question is, what is or has been your greatest challenge in 2008?
And for me, my strengths and my challenges were the same.
Right.
Because it was quite amazing, really. And, you know, when you really let go of something, I mean, for a lot of this, it was a result of a relationship.
Right.
That sort of was the catalyst in my healing. And then I was able to completely let go, completely, not 100%, but healed as much as I could on my own.
Beautiful.
And and then the relationship came back, which is kind of perfect in certain senses. But, you know, it's really funny because I always say these to people, you know, you really have to let go because until you can truly let go, a healing can't occur.
Right.
And the healing wasn't just for me. The healing had to occur for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was really, I mean, it's really a key point. And it doesn't always work out this way.
Right.
But I do know that if it doesn't, there's always somebody else. There's always another relationship. If that's truly what you want,
right,
there will always be somebody else.
See, and that's a part of the healing. Right. Having that knowing, thing. Yeah, that's a part of the being in a healed state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, brilliant. I always knew that, but you know, the letting go part, you know, when you knew just, you know, the strength and quality of the connection and it, yeah. Anyway, letting go was a bit challenging for me, but that's part of my abandonment issue, which was triggered.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful and beautiful. My greatest challenge was moving.
Mm.
I moved twice, twice. Goodness help me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there anyone out there that loves moving? If you do, email me. I want to know how you got to that. Moving this year was the challenge for me. greatest challenge, because I didn't have to move once, I moved twice. And it was just because the location I moved to wasn't what I expected or wasn't what I had anticipated, or maybe I should have done a more appropriate list. maybe if I pulled a card for that one, that may have been helpful. But yeah, so that would have been the challenge for me this year. So twice. The first one wasn't so bad. It was moving twice. So the next question is, what has shifted in your reality this past year from the year before? So this is different. What has shifted in your reality? So not just what has shifted in your mindset, what lessons have you learned, but what have you noticed in your physical space that shifted? Because we know that, pardon me, that your reality is a reflection of you. So if you shift on the inside, your reality on the outside will shift. So it is a clue, so to speak. It is a clue to notice what has shifted in your reality. So I think this is a profound question, if I do say so myself. And do you want to share?
You know, I think it will go back to the healing. What I've noticed with regards to that in particular, the relationship has completely shifted. And as a result, it's our communication is much better. Everything about it is much better. And my issue around abandonment has had an opportunity to, you know, to come to a healthier place. Understanding, you know, my triggers and being more aware of them so that they're not something that are, you know, is in my face in the same way. Letting go was part of that process to be able to fully say, you know, I'm okay. It's going to be fine. And no matter what happens, there's always, if this is what I truly want, and that's part of what I needed to understand about myself. It wasn't really something to fulfill who I was. It's just, it's a compliment in my life that is something I want. So knowing all that and being able to come to that place without the same pain and the same attachment. So it's allowed that to shift.
Beautiful.
And I would say also the radio has allowed me an opportunity to shift to taking it to a different place.
Absolutely.
Getting that acknowledgement, I think.
Oh, yeah. So that shows the shift on the inside. The shift on the inside translated into shifts for the show, for your location, for a relationship, for a whole lot of things. So that's quite beautiful.
Yes, I got to move as well. My move, although I really dislike moving, I moved into a beautiful place that is very much in alignment with who I am.
Great. So I did want to mention that if not a lot has changed for you, that there are reasons for this. There are several reasons. One is that you simply were not aligned with what it is that you're wanting enough for it to take place. So let's say a person is wanting to be in a relationship, but the relationship didn't, but this year you didn't attract that relationship, then it would just mean that you were not as aligned as you perhaps could be to see that show up in your space. So that's one aspect. The other possibility is that you're already in a great place. And this sounds a little bit bizarre because we would think, well, you know, why haven't I moved, or why hasn't this happened? And in some cases, it's really based on what you're called to in your heart of hearts on the soul level. So not just on the egoic or the ego level. So if I have a client who we had a great conversation about this, and I asked her this question. She said, well, not a lot has shifted. And I realized right away, it's because everything's really good. Why would you need to change your location? You're in a beautiful location. You have great health. Your finances are doing incredibly, and so on and so on. And so it does bring up that question. And there's a third possibility, and that is that a person simply hasn't clarified enough what they would like to change to. And so if you're working on that, then I recommend taking some time over the next month using some of the questions we're talking about today and that will be coming up shortly to help you to clarify what you're really wanting for next year. And then, yeah, we'll go into that as we get there. Yeah. So the next question, what would you do differently? Or what would you like to rewrite that occurred this year?
Well, I know everything always happens for a reason, but, you know, not to be triggered quite the way I am or was.
Right.
That would be, you know, just being more aware and not allowing those triggers to impact me. You know, I truly understand now just the impact of the emotional body on our healing process and how, you know, we're really on a third dimensional planet. We really need to feel. And if you're always detaching from everything, you're not necessarily healing. And so there's an aspect where we do need to be able to detach. We do need to not completely, you know, go through our lives in a state of attachment. But at the same time, if we need to heal certain aspects of ourselves, we really need to honor it. So I would definitely want to not react quite the same way. But at the same time, I also recognize that it was a huge honoring process.
Absolutely.
That I had to do.
Absolutely. And these items or these aspects that you'd like to do differently or change, keep in mind that one of the best things you can do is you can do a visualization and spend some time with that particular aspect that you like to change, and see for those that are listening, see yourself enveloping it with some kind of loving energy and give a color and a hue and a sensation to it, and just see it being perfect as it was. And we're going to do an exercise shortly that's incredibly profound and allows people to let go of the past just within a few moments. So
nice.
Glad that came up. I'll do that after. Please remind me. Okay. really quick for me was I was supposed to be on television for this media tour that I was in. Yeah. Well, I was on TV, but this is the one thing I would definitely do differently. I drove at 4:30, 5:30 in the morning to get there. And I was so exhausted because I hadn't slept really that much the night before. And I could have just stayed in a hotel overnight. So if we could sum this up in a more energetic perspective, it would be I probably should have honored myself more and instead of put myself through that. And I went on air, I mumbled, fumbled, it was crazy. So that was a good learning lesson. Next question, what was your greatest contribution in 2008? The key behind this is that we want to make sure that this is not just about your perception of you alone. So we are all a part of one wholeness, a larger perspective than just our egoic awareness of who we are. And so this starts to bring us into our awareness of what's going on around us and our connection with what's around us. So this is a really neat question. What was your greatest contribution in 2008?
Well, I would say the expansion of the radio. I mean, it started with my website and, you know, it just stepping it up to a more professional website and really acknowledging that the radio show is part of, you know, essential key to who and what I am. And so, and allowing that to really build. Because it started with one show a week and then I had to do two. And, you know, I'm already booked into May. So I'm thinking
goodness.
I might have to do three nights a week.
Oh, wow. Incredible. So, could be an everyday thing.
Well,
we'll see how that goes.
May.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess I should book in now. So you're taking bookings for one, 2 years from now.
See, I don't want to be that.
I know.
Show right?
Right.
I want to be able to offer. So that's why I'm thinking it may expand.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Incredible. Wow. My greatest contribution, I would say, would just be my overall work and what I do on a daily basis. What you hear in this show and what I speak about, I live. This is me 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. There is no pause, no break. This is constant. So I am that I am. and so I'm very, again, I'm grateful that people come to me and that I can help them. And so I would say my work overall is my greatest contribution. I'm really fortunate. I also have very grateful clients. So they send me really beautiful things and thank yous and so on and cards and emails. So it's really nice. Yeah. Next question. This is a neat question. What fun, silly, and or goofy things did you do in 2008?
You know, this has been such a year of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so much that person that says, you know, we have to have fun. But, you know, when I saw that question, it's like, oh, dear, did yeah. I like do anything that I would have thought was goofy or fun or silly? Mm-hmm. Well, I might do it in my interviews.
Right.
It was rather me, the laughing and everything. And certainly, you know, I think I even got it tonight. It's like, why do you laugh so much? Well, mm-hmm. you know, typically I'm a happy person.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I would really have to think about, you know, if there was anything that I would say, and it's, you know, something that I'm going to make sure I do more of in
absolutely.
2009.
Well, and this is really common, I find. A lot of people that are into quote-unquote spirituality are actually more into what I call mentality. Mm. And there's a misperception between the differences between the mind and spirit. Mm. And so an example is people who practice gratitude and they teach it, and then they go and drive and curse the person next to them. And so what happened to your spirituality at that moment? You know, and I know we all have our moments and times, but when it's really consistent, it starts showing you that there's something to that. So that's why this is really significant, I believe, because this also is a way to reflect back to you that you're getting out of your head, getting out of your ego, out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the two fun things that I will mention is that for the first time, something I've wanted to do for a long time, I did indoor wall climbing for the first time, and it was amazing.
Nice.
Have you done it?
No.
Incredible. It would have been one of the most incredible focus exercises I've ever done, almost better than meditation.
Nice.
When you're climbing up, and by the way, you're climbing up, I wasn't paying attention to how high I was, because you're just thinking how your muscles are getting tired. So the only thoughts that were on my mind were, I got to reach that quick because my muscles are getting tired. So within a few minutes, I was already at the top, probably 3 or 4 stories high. Hadn't even realized I had gotten up that high.
Mm.
And I was so present. It was such a beautiful experience. So I actually highly recommend to everyone who's listening to try indoor wall climbing if you're not afraid of heights, if you'd like to experience a presence exercise.
Mm.
It's incredible. And the second was, I would have to say, this movie made me laugh more than any movie that I've ever seen. And I love movies. And it was The Love Guru.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Have you seen it?
I have.
Oh, my gosh. I think I cried for half the film. I went with a good friend of mine who's Indian, him and his wife, and he and I both laughed hysterically throughout the entire thing. Funny enough, about a year and a half ago, I was driving by Casa Loma, and as I was driving by, I saw an elephant in front of Casa Loma, and I thought, my God, what is an elephant doing there? So I pulled over, and I went over and had my cell phone, and I took a picture.
Nice.
Turned out that was that movie. So
funny.
It was kind of interesting.
I never even thought that. I knew it was done in Toronto. I never even thought that that would have been Casa Loma.
Oh, I know.
No,
exactly. So The Love Guru, I highly recommend it. It is hilarious. I cried. I bought it. I loved it so much. And I watched it again, crying again. I was laughing so hard. So next.
Well, movies that I definitely
yeah. Next question. What possibilities can you see for yourself now that were not clear for you before?
You know, as much as I knew that there were possibilities with the radio, it's definitely become incredibly clear to me the route that it will be flowing into.
Mm.
And I think it's only, you know, this is just so much still at the beginning of where it's even started. So the possibilities are actually quite endless.
Beautiful.
I'm kind of excited about that.
That's great. For me, let me see. This is something I hadn't actually considered. I haven't gotten this far to this question yet. So I would say the Holy Grail occurring, that experience. Because
you keep teasing us with that. You are definitely
going
to have to.
Okay. I'm working on the book for it, and the seminar will be in the spring. So I'll definitely let you know about it. And if we can get in, I don't know if you have a third day, maybe I can come in. No pressure.
No. Okay.
So that really opened up so much for me. I get so many insights on a daily basis, and they're always, I find, to me, incredibly profound. And when I share them, they're profound. But when I get them, I always think, okay, this is a great thing I can share with this person and this person and this person. When I experienced this Holy Grail shift, it was the first time in my life that I actually felt like it doesn't matter even if I share this with a single person. It has transformed me. And that is really, that was incredible for me. So that was really quite touching, actually. Mm-hmm. So more to come.
More to come.
More to come. And what are you most grateful for? The top five, let's say, or top 10. By the way, this is a great exercise to do around the dinner table. When you have, these are great things to do around Christmas time or Hanukkah time, when you're spending time with family. You can go through these questions with each other and probably come up with some hysterical responses. And at times they may be so deep and really moving and touching. So this is a great exercise to share with friends as well, not just for us tonight.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would say my relationships.
Mm.
I would say my work. Definitely the incredible connections that I've made through my work and through the show. Yeah, I guess I also got a cat this year. So, you know, bringing back my cat into my life, which has been just lovely. But, yeah, you know, it's really, I always feel incredibly grateful for any work that I do, really. And I think that's the one way that we get out of our ego and we can be present and more focused, and we can also get out of that place that, you know, feels stuck and holds us back, is when we can say, you know, I feel really grateful for the lessons I've learned. I feel really grateful for all the teachers that taught me this year.
Beautiful.
There were some wonderful healing that I got from those experiences.
Great. I would say for me, my health, my work, I think we mentioned a lot of them already. So, and actually, if you're listening right now, it's useful if you have family around you, you could always bring them in and share your responses. You can tune us down every now and then. Don't tune us down too low. But so I think that's pretty much the review. Now, before we go on, those are the review questions, but I'm going to lead everyone through a review exercise. And this is something that I share with my clients in my workshops. It came to me in the past year and would be the most profound tool that I have when it comes to letting go and releasing. So it's very good. So what you can do, and there's basically two ways to do this, but if you just close your eyes and just get a sense of how you feel sitting where you are or lying down or whatever, you're on a bed or on a chair or on the floor, just feel what it feels like to be there. Pay attention to the sounds around you and just get a sense of what it feels like to be breathing in and out and feeling your body. And now imagine that you are up on an airplane. You have no fear of heights and you're totally safe. And you're going to come out of the plane, but you're going to fall like a really lightly, very slowly, just slowly come to the ground on your feet because you have a parachute. So you want to see that parachute behind you now. You've landed, the parachute's behind you. And now we want you to put all of your experiences that you had today and every experience you had before this moment, throw it in the parachute behind you. And you can feel perhaps the weight of the parachute on your shoulders. And we're going to unhook you from this parachute in a moment. And what I want you to be conscious of is that you retain all wisdom and teachings and knowledge and lessons learned. You're just going to be throwing out all of the other stuff. All of the challenges that you had, the problems that you had, physical symptoms that negatively impacted your body, arguments, throw them all into the parachute behind you. And keep going until you feel that you've put every single last drop of them into this parachute. And now, unhook the parachute and step forward and feel what it feels like to be free of all of that, as all of that existed in the past. It doesn't exist in this moment or in the future. And so feel what it feels like to be completely present and light and free. And this is a great exercise to do when you step out of your office at the end of the day. It's a great technique to use if you're with a client and you have another client coming in. Do this with the whole, whatever happened with your client, throw it in the parachute, unhook it, and now that's in the past. So if you haven't already, bring your attention back to your physical body and how it feels to be seated or lying down. And I'm going to count to three. And when I hit three, feel free to allow your eyes to open. One, two, and three.
Nice.
It's a nice one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's great for letting go of anything you can imagine, letting go of relationships, letting go of anxiety, letting go of fear, sadness. Typically those emotions are there because we're remembering something from the past. So this is all about bringing yourself into this moment where none of that exists. In the case of pain, typically pain is something that is a memory. Interestingly enough, it's not actually really occurring for many people. For some it is, but not very often. Typically, disease is something that is a memory that we then hold and is crystallized into the physical body. So it's actually even possible, believe it or not, some people have let go. That's called spontaneous healing. People have let go of that pain simply by letting go of past. Mm-hmm. And when you're in this moment and you're not hooked up to this parachute, and you can imagine, if you want to take it a step further, see the parachute dissolve or see it fly away. So that's a great exercise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good.
So what I recommend is that I didn't lead you through it quite yet because we're not done the year, but this would be something you do as maybe a ceremony or an experience right at the end of this year on December 31st. Even if you want to do it, and this is, see how quick we went through that, is maybe 3-4 minutes. You can do this on December 31st leading through to January 1st. You can just take a moment and visualize the whole year and everything that happened this year, throwing it right in the parachute, unhooking, and then being totally free and open to everything that will come in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
very
lovely.
Nice.
Yeah. So next, we will move on to projections for 2009. My goodness.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to say 2000 or 2002. it still feels weird to even say 2008. So so these are some interesting questions. There's one thing I want to say before I share these, and that is I truly believe that your desires are sacred. And so it's important that you only share these with people that will support you 100%. I don't recommend sharing them with people that will knock them, that will question you, that may doubt them, because that tends to cause you to question and doubt. And we don't want that. So sometimes that's difficult because the people that we want to share with the most are the ones that we're closest to.
Mm-hmm.
And they sometimes are the ones that doubt the most. Our family is a good example. They don't mean any harm. They just doubt. They're really projecting themselves. They couldn't possibly imagine themselves in your desires.
Right.
They can't imagine them achieving what you're wanting to achieve. So they doubt that anyone could do it because they can't even see themselves doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't take it personally. It just means that you may need to share it with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Or keep it to yourself, too. Mm-hmm. In some cases, some teachers and shamans say that keeping it to yourself builds up the energy within you. So that's an interesting way to view it.
And then others say that if you, you know, share it to the universe, then it, you know, it's
actually, that's true. You bring up a good point. Thank you for mentioning that. What I do recommend is if you feel called to share it with someone, go for it. Mm-hmm. But when you do it, make sure that you've let go and it, you've said, no matter what they say, I'm okay. No matter how they doubt it, agree with it, love it or hate it, I'm confident in myself with this, and that's okay. So if you do that, it's almost like a form of shielding or protection so that you're not impacted by their thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And their reactions.
And their reactions.
And their projections.
And that's right, exactly. So the first one is, what are 10 goals or desires that you have for 2009?
Right.
And so we probably won't share ours, I don't think, at this point, but these are questions to consider. As we continue, I will share a few other important points to consider. So what are 10 goals or desires that you have for 2009? The next question, what are you willing to see through to creation in 2009? In other words, take an active role in. Now, this is quite significant because one of the big crazes that we've seen in the masses is people opening up to the law of attraction and creation. Mm-hmm. And this, I'm with that. I mean, before I found out about Abraham, I was getting information about this. I have a similar theory, like the law of attraction that they teach. And so it's quite profound. And so now it's become really known because of The Secret, the movie, the book, and all these. And now there's a lot of teachers out there. Everyone and their neighbor is now teaching law of attraction. But I've also noticed many misperceptions and misconceptions surrounding the wisdom and science of it. And so I thought I would clarify a few aspects of law of attraction. And so I actually have six of them. I went full tilt on this one, six. So the first one is that law of attraction is happening naturally in every moment. Mm-hmm. You can't stop it or change it. It's absolutely natural. It is the essence of all. It is essence. It just is. So it is happening naturally. You don't have to do anything to catapult law of attraction or to start it. It already is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I wanted to make that clear. Number two is that most people create non-deliberately. So, in other words, out of default. So, when you're driving along you're driving and you lose 10 minutes, what was going on in those 10 minutes? It's likely that you were thinking certain thoughts about something. Either you're at total peace or you're thinking thoughts.
Well, if you were at total peace, you probably wouldn't have lost that.
That's true.
You'd been very aware.
Good point. You're a good point. Very good point. I stand corrected. Thank you. So the thing is, in that case,
you might have been caught up in a blissful moment.
That's true. Thank you. Thank you. You're very very giving. Thank you. So the thing is that if that occurred, consider that most of our waking moments are not spent feeling or thinking good thoughts, especially if you're driving in traffic. Okay. If you're in a metro like we're in, it's likely that thoughts are caught up in the energy that is around you, which is busyness, scattered, and so on and so on. And without knowing it, your mind is probably gone in some kind of direction, thinking about what happened at work that day that was not so great, thinking about what you have to do when you get home, and busy, 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 and so on. So,
and just your whole energy field gets caught up.
Absolutely.
And you're just not even aware. I mean, there's been a couple times where, you know, I've gotten all caught up in the road rage. And it's like, and I stop myself and go, What are you doing? And then I laugh at myself and move forward. But it's like, hello, like you are so aware of this stuff. What are you doing?
I know, I know. It just shows even the best, you know, the best of us or the brightest or the who,
just,
you know.
Funny.
Yeah, it's true. So in that case, just keep that in mind, that you are creating non-deliberately.
It's not what you like that's in your world.
Right.
You're doing it non-deliberately because the law of attraction is the law.
That's right.
And it's always there. And
it's always there. And it was even before Abraham was teaching. It's been taught for thousands of years in other cultures. The next one is, and this is, I'd say, one of the biggest ones or most significant, is action and your involvement in the law of attraction or manifestation is a part of the process. In other words, you can speed things along at times simply by shifting your vibration and aligning your thoughts and feelings with your deepest self and the moment. And typically what I find, especially in the field of, in the New Age field and the energy field and spirituality, is most people are more in their minds about things. If you look at all of the most well-known, quote-unquote, well-known speakers, authors, and so on, teachers, healers, the most successful, the ones who are the wealthiest, they take an enormous amount of action on a daily basis. So not only is the law of attraction working with them, they are very engaged and involved in the experience with their space and within themselves. And that's a big key. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make that. That's why this question was, what are you willing to see through in 2009? Mm-hmm. So what are you willing to be engaged and involved with actively to create? A little interesting tidbit. We look at the words attract and create. Attract is typically a more passive word.
Yes.
And attraction has become a huge phenomena. So most people have, I think, without knowing it, shifted into a state of passivity, mm-hmm. saying, well, I can just hang out at home, meditate. Why aren't people knocking down my door? How many practitioners, when I started, this was my challenge. I hadn't had any clients in 4 months. And I was thinking, well, I'm here. I built it. Where are they? Why aren't they coming to see me? Why haven't they, you know, found me? Law of attraction. I'm thinking good thoughts about. So that's the catch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Being engaged and active. The next one, number four, is waiting for something to occur is a matter of ego. I've heard some practitioners, Reiki masters and so on, not just Reiki, but in other modalities say, I keep getting the message, patience, wait. And I can tell you that the soul never says, I am waiting for joy. The soul never says, I'm waiting for love. The soul never says, I'm waiting for richness. The soul is joy. It is love. It is richness. So if you're ever getting that message of wait or be patient, typically I would take a moment to really check in and see if that really came from your purest, deepest self. Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, with this little crisis that we've been having with the economy, if somebody was thinking, oh, you know, should I buy a house now or should I wait? You know, that might have been good advice.
That's an interesting point. You know what's funny about that is it might even be best to buy a house now because they're really selling for good rates.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. So
but if you bought it 6
I'm just teasing
ago, you. Know, exactly. But that's the thing.
It's true. Yeah.
You know, action is so important.
Right.
And sometimes action is still, okay, is this the right time? And connecting in with your intuition.
Great.
And connecting in with your heart. And, you know, waiting is not a game that is fun.
Right.
And sometimes it's about learning patience.
Right.
Sometimes it's about, you know, there's so many things that could be part of our lesson.
It's true.
But I 100% agree with you with regards to action. I think, you know, the New Age community has made it, well, if it's not meant to be.
Right.
You know, I do that thing. It's like, oh, honestly, we create. Because if
right.
I was waiting, this station may never have, this show
no
may
never.
No one
would be listening.
Well, and this show may never have happened.
That's
because
true.
Because there were so many things that were blocked.
That's true.
From Vista, from my,
right.
You know, I mean, so many things. I could
right.
have gone, okay, I guess it's not meant to be. Because,
right.
But I just was persistent.
Absolutely.
And look where it's getting.
I know. Here we are.
Uh-huh.
I know. next one. And this is the two more. It's easier to slide down the emotional scale, typically, than it is to slide up. So it's easier to go from a state of joy to a state of sadness than it is to go from a state of sadness to joy. The lower someone goes on the scale, the denser it becomes, and typically the harder it is to shift out of that. So this is a part of what I do in my coaching is I help others to master their vibration so that they can shift at will. This is actually part of the Holy Grail. Mm. So when people hear the Holy Grail, shift just like that. Instant.
Cool.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Again, you're teasing.
I know. I had to throw little teases here and there. I'm a big teaser. The next one is, it's how you feel in the moment that actually determines your reality rather than the specific words that you use. Although the words can generate feelings. I'm not laughing at these individuals when they do this, but I often hear people will say something and they'll say, oh no, I shouldn't say that out loud. It's irrelevant whether you say something out loud or not, in terms of your own self. It's your thoughts and feelings around what you're going to say out loud anyway that determine what you attract. You can't hide from the universe what you're feeling. So I wanted to clarify these specific points about this. Again, this comes back to, what are you willing to see through to creation in 2009? In other words, take an active role in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next question. Enjoying these questions?
I am.
All right, great. Me too. This is fun. I hope you're all having fun. The next one, and this goes back to something we alluded to. What fun or silly, goofy things would you like to do in 2009? That's a great question.
It is good.
I want to go. I haven't been indoor wall climbing since, so I'm going to do that again. I started doing about 5 years ago. I was guided to do this. I thought, great idea. Pick something I've never done before that I've always wanted to do, and do something new every year. I started archery several years ago, which is amazing. I found a great teacher in the GTA, and I just love it. And so indoor wall climbing was the next. And we'll see what happens next year. I'll get back to you on the next next year if we have a reunion.
Okay, we will.
And who would you like to connect with in 2009? Who would you like to connect with?
Well, I do have an interview with Neil Donald Walsh, but I'm thinking Eckhart Tolle is definitely somebody that I'm wanting to get an interview with. Eckhart, if you're listening.
Exactly.
I'm sure he is.
He's got to be tuned into the airwaves.
Oh, that goes in with your one point that you were talking about, we were joking about earlier, about how the next show is not going to be, in 2 years. We're going to wait.
This is what I'm going to aim for. I do some psychic work, not a lot more. I call it intuitive, but maybe in a couple of years, we'll do a think-in show. That way you can just think in your questions and I'll tap into them and be able to recite them out loud for you on your behalf. You won't need to call in. And that would be on its way to the next level, which is where you think them to me. I send you the response via the airwaves, via thought, and therefore it's totally telepathic.
Yeah, it won't make a great show.
That's true. Might be a little empty or quiet, but we could add applause or laughs in every
there
now and then.
Yeah, we'll keep going. Oh, that was great.
Pre-recorded. That was fantastic. You were right on with that one.
That was great.
That's good. The next question, this is key, I think, for most of us right now, and this is interesting timing with this. What would you like your finances to be like in 2009? This brings up lots of questions based on who knows what our, if you're tuning in from Canada, what our government's going to be doing tomorrow, what is going on in the U.S., what is going on around the world. So this is significant, and I also want to go back to what we talked about before. You are able to create your reality. And so you're not limited, period. Let me carry that on. You're not limited by what your reality or environment shows you that you may be. I don't actually take any courses these days. I just do my own work. But I was fortunate to hear a little segment on one of Abraham's CDs by Esther and Jerry Hicks. And it was really quite fantastic in that moment. That it was a little clip, like a 30 second, and they said, there are 30,000 ways to make $30,000.
Yeah.
And so let's take this to the extreme. There are a million ways to make $1 million. There are a billion ways to make $1 billion. It's just a matter of aligning yourself with that and then allowing that and being a part of creating that.
Mm-hmm.
So, good thing to keep in mind. So, what would you like your finances to be like? And I want to also add something. It's useful to be somewhat realistic for this.
Oh, absolutely.
So, some tend to say, oh, well, I just want to be a billionaire in 2009, and right now they have lots of debt and so on. So, maybe take smaller steps. Aim for 2010 for being there and see, create something in between.
And also don't let the economy, because there is
absolutely
a huge fear right now with mm-hmm. regards to the economy. And we're getting caught up in it unconsciously
right.
again. And so don't let that impact you and what you feel could occur.
Absolutely.
2009.
You got it. Next, what will romance, this is where we want an echo, romance look like for you in 2009? And so the questions are, do you choose to have any?
Yeah.
It's a key question. And this is something that I find interesting, is most people assume they have to be in a romance. It's unconsciously, subconsciously programmed that we should be in a romantic relationship. And so make sure that you're really clear on whether that's important to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the other thing is that there's a lot of women I know who want it, but they're not dating. They're not doing anything. They're
right.
waiting.
They're waiting. That's they're in the waiting.
They're waiting.
That's right. They're
it's
in
like,
queue.
Oh, hello.
Right.
If you want to be, get a relationship,
absolutely.
You need to start action.
I'm going
to
say you probably have more women listening into than men. I know in my practice it's mostly women, and just because women these days tend to be, men are opening up much more, so it's fantastic to see. Any courses I ever took, I was always the youngest and also the only male you know, doing the energy work and so on that I did. But I just want to let the women know who are listening that there are men that love when women approach them.
Yeah.
And so don't hold back because you're worried that they will be turned off. Men are very open and welcome that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So next, actually, let me just finish off that romantic part is, would you like your current romance to be deeper and more meaningful? Why not create or recreate your romance in 2009? Mm-hmm. When was the last time you went on a date with your spouse? Most couples, if they've been married for a while, don't do dates anymore. Mm. Why not? So take the time to do that for sure. Even the word love, I think, has been misunderstood and misexpressed. I think we talked about this in one of the shows. And one of my clients had a beautiful insight that came during one of our sessions, and quite profound about love. And what he said was, he said that the feeling that we have when we don't feel loved is actually not that we're not being loved. It's that love is not coming through us. Mm-hmm. So we're actually feeling the lack of love pouring through us. Mm-hmm. And so as the Dalai Lama, I believe, has said something to the effect of, if you want compassion, be compassionate. Mm-hmm. If you want to be loved, love. Mm-hmm. If you want a friend, be a friend.
You have to give to receive.
Give and receive, absolutely. So again, that's a part of our involvement in the whole world around us as a whole,
yeah.
as one. So the next question, we're almost near the end of the questions. What will you do differently? What will you do differently in 2009? There's a saying that if you always do what you've always done, you always...
The definition of insanity.
That's right. That's it. That's it. What is it? Is the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing... And I
forget, expecting a different...
A different result.
Yeah.
That's right. So again, this is a part where you stand up, make 2009, or actually even start tomorrow, because we're doing this, or start 2009, at least start sometime soon, doing things differently. There's a very interesting now free book that many have probably heard of, maybe not read, but heard of, and it's called The Science of Getting Rich. Have you heard of this?
Mm-mm.
Really interesting. It was written in the early 1900s. It's really about law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And the author says that all wealthy people, all of them, are doing something that allows them to be that way. Mm. All of them. So they're all practicing the exact same thing to be in the position that they're in. And if you practice that same thing, you will also be wealthy. However, and this is the challenge, most of us are used to staying the same.
Yeah, staying in our box.
Staying in our box. We're either afraid of change, we're worried because we've done change in the past and it didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
we're worried about what will happen. We're worried that we won't have control anymore. Control is a big one. We won't have the same approval, security, and so on. So these are some things we want. Again, remember, everything I just listed off comes from one place. Comes from your mind. Mm. And that's what holds us back or keeps you in the same patterns you've been in. So in the ideal world, pick and choose what you're going to do differently in 2009. Okay, so take some time to answer this question. What will I do differently in 2009 in my finances, with my relationship, da, 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 and so on and so on?
Yeah.
Okay. What are your top three? Now, these, the next three are the, I'd say, nearly the most significant ones, so I saved the best for last. What are your top three priorities in 2009? What is absolutely so important to you and significant that you will do everything you and you can in your infinite power to create it, or work towards it, or allow it, or all of the above? And I mentioned three. You could have more, but three is typically a good number.
Good number because it's not too intimidating.
That's right.
Or spreading out too much of our energy.
Can you imagine? What are your top 50 priorities? Oh my God. And all of a sudden they hang up.
Yeah.
So what are your top three? And then, so I recommend writing them down. And then write down what three actions will you take for each of those three priorities to make them a reality or to be involved in getting them going or starting them. Maybe meditation might be one. Perhaps journaling. Perhaps speaking with a friend about it. So those are some different aspects to consider. Mm-hmm. And lastly, what affirmations will support these intentions? I'm very big on affirmations. I love them. I use them. I've had times in my life when I didn't use them and I noticed a huge difference. So I now use affirmations and they really help you to create more belief, which is at the essence of allowing what you truly want into your life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to mention three keys for affirmations. Okay. For those of you, actually, I'm going to ask you a general question for everyone who's listening is, have affirmations always worked for you 100% of the time, every time? And I can tell you, I've never had one person say yes. And it has worked for me 100% of the time.
It has?
Yep. 100%. And I the reason, keep in mind, now some people say, some people might come in and say, okay, Josh, we're going to test you on this. And the key with, and this is not included in the three, so I'm going to add a bonus key in the affirmations, is you want to declare something that is called through you from your heart of hearts. Not from ego, not from your mind. It's pure when it comes from deeper inside of you. It comes from the ego or the mind. It's not as powerful, not as pure. So the three keys to affirmation, I heard an echo there. See, that was the ominous. We should have that in the background. Ooh, that would be good. So the three key, I'm being silly. The three keys to affirmations. It must be stated in the positive. Most everyone knows that. Must be stated. In other words, if you are having challenges with your health, you would not say, I have overcome cancer. I do not recommend saying that. Because you're declaring cancer. You're including cancer in your thoughts, in your words, in your repetition, in your energy. That's not the focus or purpose. Ideally, you would declare what you would ultimately like to see in your life. I'll give you some examples. I'm feeling physically healthy, strong, and vibrant. That's great. Mm-hmm. Now, the key is you really want to feel it. Don't just say it. Feel what it feels like. So we're going to get to that. So the next key, number two. So the first one is must be stated in the positive. Number two, must be words that you would actually use. Mm. Don't use someone else's words. How many people have you heard using, I am a money magnet? And it sounds great, but would you really use those words if you're magnetizing money to you? Mm-hmm. Or would you say, I have great wealth. I have lots of wealth. I can spend any time I want. Would you say, I'm a millionaire? Would you be going around telling everyone I'm a millionaire? Probably not. I know quite a few millionaires, and none of them have said that ever once.
Yeah.
So when it comes to that, you would say something that is natural, that would be natural for you. Remember, the purpose of affirmations is declaring something as true. And when you believe and know with every cell in your being that it's true, so it is. And that's what you attract from. So that's one of the keys here. Next one, the third one, and this is the ultimate. This is the greatest challenge with affirmations. And this is really why they work for some and why they don't for others, why they work at some times and not at others. And that is that you must say them for the pure joy of saying them, not to actually attract what you're asking for. That's the beautiful irony behind affirmations. You're wanting to declare something so you can attract it, but at the same time, you don't want to say it for that purpose, because that then comes from a place of wanting. And a place coming from a place of wanting is actually affirming, I don't have it, therefore I want it. Mm-hmm. So by just saying it for the pure joy of it is the best thing you can do when it comes to affirmations. So I'll give you some examples. My favorite financial affirmation came from one of my good friends, Savitri Gallardo. Brilliant, best financial affirmation I've ever heard. I love this one. Money is coming to me quicker than I can spend it. Money is coming to me. I love that. Money is coming to me quicker than I can spend it. So again, if you would say that, if that was true, use it. If you wouldn't say that, don't use it. Come up with another one. Right. Okay. Another is, financially, this is my best year yet. Financially, this is my best month yet. And really feel it. Declare it. Feel it with your full energy. You feel free to use emotion. This is one of the times when using emotion is very helpful. Allow yourself to get into it and declare it and be excited about it, and then release the energy around it after. And another one, one other key about affirmations, I know we're about to wrap up here, is sometimes declaring these affirmations are too far. They're too far away for you. In other words, if finances are really challenging, it's almost impossible, it feels, to get into the mindset of, I am financially free. So what you can do is use this affirmation instead, or use the beginning of this. I allow myself to be. So I allow myself to love and to be loved. I allow myself to attract wealth. I allow myself to be rich. I allow myself to feel physically healthy and vibrant. I allow myself to have beautiful romance. I allow myself to have meaningful relationships. I allow myself to experience pure bliss. I allow myself to experience divine, whatever you wish to say, you know. So that is another way to say it if you're having trouble with affirmations, kind of getting to the ones a little bit further away or too high for you. So start with, I allow myself. And then as your energy shifts up and strengthens, you can move to that other affirmation.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And they say 2009, prepare for divine.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. I allow the divinity of 2009. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. So those are all the questions. And so again, hopefully you've got these. You've written these down. If you haven't, you're still welcome to check them out on my website. They're not up quite yet. They will go up hopefully tonight, being the 1st of December. And so they should be up by the 2nd. If for some reason you can't locate them, you can email me or contact me and I can send them to you.
And how do people get a hold of you?
You can reach me by phone, 416-388-1135, or by email. It's really not that simple. It's somewhat simple. Info, it's my last name. That's not that simple. Info at joshuazuchter.com, which is J-O-S-H-U-A, Joshua, Z-U-C-H-T-E-R.com.
And that's your website as well.
My website, joshuazuchter.com. Yep, www.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, again, it was quite a pleasure, and I always enjoy having your smile and your enthusiasm for what you do.
Thanks.
Obviously are very passionate about what you do, and so it comes through. So thank you for sharing.
Thanks for having me.
And no more teasing. Next time you come, I want to hear about this Holy Grail.
Okay, you betcha. All right.
All right. So we will be back on Thursday. We'll see you then.